What were you looking at the FECA and then testifying to Congress about?
This was actually a statement for the record we provided for the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee for the postal markup, which was Wednesday of this week. And what we provided were our preliminary observations on fraud prevention controls for the FECA program. Our work to date has looked at the big agencies involved in this, such as VA, Homeland Security, Postal, Army, Navy, Air Force, and, of course, the agency that runs the program, the Department of Labor.
Talk about the structural integrity of the program right now, where it is money-wise.
I'm not aware of that. I know there's a $30 billion actuarial liability, so we're talking about that's the future outlays based upon the program today. So it's a very large program. Various agencies, the six I mentioned, are about 73% of the total size of the program. So certainly it's a program with a large number of dollars, and in these days of shrinking budgets or at least flat budgets, getting everybody that can work off of these roles is important, and minimizing fraud, waste, and abuse is important also.
Now, one of the things you focused on were some best practices that have worked at other agencies for trying to control fraud within this program. Talk about that.
Yeah, we had four areas we highlighted in this preliminary observations, and the first one was, for example, dedicated full-time staff who are experts, some of these career experts, at managing and overseeing, in this case, fraud and abuse looks at the FECA program. Also, we identified agencies doing periodic eligibility reviews, for example, of wages, medical conditions, to make sure that people were still eligible for the program. We also found some good practices in using what data was available to assess ongoing eligibility. And there's been some success in the investigative, in the fourth area, the investigative world. For example, the Postal IG in the last several years has identified 476 cases of fraud and received $83 million of judgments for those. So that gives you an indication that there is potentially some vulnerability in this program for fraud.
Did you get any sense of those four best practices? Which of those are being used maybe more effectively than others or more commonly than others, or any of those four areas stand out?
Well, again, I think the Postal Inspector General has done a very good job of dedicating investigative staff to proactively look at these cases. So if you consider 476 cases of fraud over the last several years, that's a pretty significant commitment of investigative resources, which hopefully not only has the benefit of getting those people out of the program that shouldn't be, but deterring people perhaps from fraud and abuse in future.
You write, our work to this point has identified these most promising practices, and you write they link back to fraud prevention concepts contained in GAO's fraud prevention framework. So this is material. These best practices have been around for a while, and they've been in use other places, right?
Yes, and the framework we're talking about really has three parts. It's got prevention, in other words, what do you do at the beginning, in this case, before someone gets in the program to make sure they're eligible. You've got monitoring, which means once they're in the program, what processes do you have to ensure that they remain eligible. And then you have at the end investigations, prosecutions, and some sort of a consequence for those that actually abuse the program, which again serves as a deterrent and a preventive mechanism for future.
And these apply not just in workers' compensation areas. These can be in pretty much any kind of outlay area. Is that right?
Yes, we've used these for a number of programs across the government. And those three concepts, the prevention, monitoring, and the investigations and consequences, apply to every program.
One of the elements, back to the four best practices that you outlined, one of those you mentioned is the data. And I wonder if you are able to get a sense of the integrity of the data that the agencies and the Postal Service here, if the is the one that was in focus, because that's what the Homeland Security Committee was looking at. But I wonder if you're getting a sense of the quality of the data that the agencies have to work with in the first place. We've talked a lot on this program about how if your data is not clean, then it's really hard to draw conclusions from it and take action.
Well, the data in the cases you're mentioning, we saw some data analysis of ongoing eligibility, such as reviews of medical claims, that was a promising practice, but we also found one of the most significant vulnerabilities was the limited access to certain data. For example, the National Directory of New Hires is something that we believe would be useful for the Department of Labor and agencies to have access to, which they don't. As you know, in that data, you may not know, it has unemployment insurance and quarterly wage information from employers across the country. So if someone in FECA is actually working and not reporting it back to the Department of Labor, the National Directory of New Hires is an example of data that the agencies could use to deter fraud.
And are you getting a sense of how the agencies are doing at cross-referencing that kind of data?
Well, they don't have access to it now, so there's nothing they can do. And another example of something that they don't have access to right now are other disability databases. So you have people in the FICA program, but the agencies aren't always having access to, for example, Social Security disability data or VA disability data, because if you have people in both programs, there are offset provisions, for example, where the government would be making duplicate payments that should be reduced.
What would have to happen for them to get access to that information? Is there some kind of an information security issue, privacy issue, or is it just a matter of the right data sources aren't connected to the right data sources?
I think it's a combination of perhaps legislative requirement and also data sharing arrangements. The National Directory for New Hires, it may require a legislative fix, and that may be something I haven't seen what's come out of the Wednesday markup. That may be something that is in the provisions of the bills that they have there. Whereas other cases like Social Security, it may be data use agreements or data sharing arrangements between the Department of Labor, Social Security, Postal, and other key agencies.
Greg, always good to have you on the program. Thanks for bringing me up to speed on this.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.